Representative Mahoney, are you ready?
Yes.
We got to talk about that.
Members, I don't have quite a quorum yet. I think we're one short, but what we'll do is start with the overview of the bill. We won't take any action on the bill until we have a quorum, but we'll take advantage of your time presenting it. And members, we are we do have a quorum. Okay, well then we'll officially convene the meeting. And let's see, Representative Holberg, you were, I think, first to arrive after the chair. Did you look at the minutes?
Yes, I would move approval of the minutes, Mr. Chair.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any discussion on approval of the minutes? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed. Motion carried. Representative Mahoney has another meeting, so we're adjusting the agenda and taking
Thank
your
you.
Bill first then to accommodate that, so the other authors will be up shortly. So if you want to explain the bill and make a motion to put it before us.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House File 316. I believe it's going to the floor for
the
passage and to the floor. What House File 316 does is it's a vehicle transfer fee bill. There are six fees that are typically when you transfer a fee. And for the auto dealers, what happens is that they transfer a vehicle from one dealership to another or when they buy them at auction. So these title fees, it's not so much the money as it is all the paperwork. And what they have proposed and makes sense, and I'll get to that in a little bit, is getting rid of all those fees and then putting one title fee in. I want to make sure that I get this right. This raises the fee for, I'm going to read it right off the House research because they actually put it pretty succinctly. Raises the fee for the new vehicle title by $2 with no change. Made to the to a $1 technology surcharge and an additional $3.50 that goes to the public safety vehicle account with the 90-cent increase going to the account for that funds driver and vehicle services and the other $100.10 going to the general fund. Then eliminates the transfer the $5.50 title transfer fee which is currently distributed $2.50 to the DVS and $3 to the general fund. And the best way to I can say this is you can say that this is a slight positive impact beginning in 2017. Otherwise, it's got a small impact to the budget. And I don't have the yes, I do have the fiscal note.
Yeah, the fiscal note members is in our packets.
And there is no, according to the fiscal note, there is no. There's no impact until 2017. And then it is relatively small.
Okay. Bill, do you want to come in on the fiscal
Mr. Chair, members, just to mention that it's beginning in fiscal 17, it's estimated to be 16,000 additional revenue to the general fund, 33,000 to the special revenue fund, actually the vehicle services account in the special revenue fund.
Okay, so the motion is before us. Any discussion? Well, seeing none, then Representative Mahoney renews his motion that House File 316 be recommended to pass and be placed on the general register. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion
Thank
carried.
You, Thank you, committee.
And Representative Purcell.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members.
Representative Sell, I'll to put the bill before us, move that House File 903 be recommended to pass and placed on the general register. Representative Purcell, do you want to explain the bill? And then I'm going to have an amendment a little bit later, but...
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The bill is pretty straightforward. This is an authorization for the Commissioner of Veterans Affairs to establish a veterans home in Beltrami County, 70 beds, skilled nursing, and then in conformance with all of the licensing rules of the state and, of course, the Veterans Administration. And there are a number of initiatives around the state of Minnesota for veterans homes, and arguably we need veterans homes in Minnesota, and we've got a big need up in northwest Minnesota, and that's what we're trying to fill here.
Okay, and I have an amendment then to put the bill in the form that the author would like, that basically creates legislative oversight. It's amendment H0903A6. So the chair moves that amendment, and Representative Purcell, would you care to comment about the amendment then?
This amendment, Mr. Chair, members, would ensure, as you said, Mr. Chair, that there is oversight as we move ahead with this initiative for financial oversight in the legislature for costs that would be borne by the state of Minnesota.
Okay. Members, the purpose of this amendment, and we have another bill coming up by Representative Ward that is very similar, is that this would, as I understand it, put you on the federal list.
Yes, sir.
And then when decisions are made, because there will be more than one bill coming forward as to the best location or locations, that would come back then to the chairs of the relevant committees for oversight. Some of you are on capital investment, and there was a discussion this morning in Representative Hausman's committee about veterans' homes, and so ultimately, once those decisions are made, it would be a decision in the capital investment committee. But it was an interesting discussion about veterans' facilities, excess nursing home beds in certain locations around the state. So there's a lot of issues inherent in where they ultimately might be located. But Representative Hausman, do you remember how long that waiting list is? It's 800 and some, I think.
There are 874, I think, on the waiting list, and that's added to every day.
Okay, so there is a need here that will have to be addressed at some point. Representative Purcell.
Mr. Chair, I just want to you said that in this that Bemidji would be, Beltrami County would be put on the list. My understanding, the word would be that we would be eligible to be put on the list by the commissioner.
Okay, good correction. Yeah. So any further discussion on the amendment that we need to take care of first?
On the bill.
Representative Kahn?
I don't know if this is discussion on the amendment or the bill, but it's just the general subject. But are there thoughts being considered about giving, instead of building new veterans' homes, doing veterans' wings in nursing homes? I know there is a sense of veterans liking to be together, but there is also a sense of people liking to be in their own community instead of having to walk. I'm not saying that we should mandate it, but I'm saying I think it ought to be an issue of discussion. If we have combination of excess nursing home beds and a shortage of beds for veterans, those seem to just fit together.
I don't know if Representative Hausman wants to comment, but there was a discussion about that this morning. Representative Hausman?
And in fact, Representative Ward made the exact recommendation that you just had, that idea of a wing. But everyone, I would say there are a number of people here who were part of that discussion, I think everyone feels we haven't really quite arrived at the answer yet, and I think there's a real desire to sit down around a table across some of those jurisdictions and say, of course, we're so driven by the federal government, but it, right. You know, where can we seek waivers to spend our money perhaps in this state in a different way?
Representative Ornes.
Mr. Chair, I was just going to go back to the comment that was made about the waiting list. And that is, I assume, either a projected waiting list. I'm not sure if it's an actual waiting list. Some of my nursing home administrators have pointed out that some that are on the waiting list are currently in their facilities. So you have to kind of look at the whole picture to see the impact that it has overall as far as providing the care. My two nursing homes who are in direct competition with the veterans in our community sometimes feel that they're on the short end of this because they're taken as soon as there's an available bed from their facility and then put in the veterans home. So there's a lot of things that we have to consider as we move forward with this.
Yeah, and that's Representative Norris, the purpose of the amendment, so that there would
right.
be oversight as this process begins to take place. Any further discussion? On the amendment. Okay, seeing none, all those in favor of the amendment H09-03A6 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Now on the bill, any further discussion? Representative Holbert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Purcell, why do we need this bill? It's my understanding that these decisions are made based on location and need, and that the if in fact this is the best place for one, that the commissioner can choose this site, that the bill doesn't actually do anything.
Mr. Chair, Representative Holbert, I'm advised that this makes the process more clear. That's why I brought this bill for the authorization, and that's why I'm moving forward with this. This brings some clarity as opposed to a process where, you know, I this isn't my first go at this with the Bemidji Veterans Home. My previous two terms, I had a similar bill. That this is an authorization that will start that process down the road of, okay, here we're going to get serious about where we're going to put veterans homes in Minnesota.
Representative Albert, Mr. Gallucci from the department is present. Do you think his comments might be helpful in regard to your question?
It may. I mean, it just seems permissive, and we have a second bill coming after this, and I mean, my understanding is that they may put one in Lakeville, or they may put one in Rochester, or they may put one in Fergus Falls, that there's criteria that are used that are outside of the legislative process based on need and proximity to hospitals, and that, you know, I don't know. I mean, should we have all the members prepare amendments for the floor to add their towns to these bills, saying they may put them somewhere else? I mean, I'm just not sure what we're accomplishing here.
Maybe, Mr. Gallucci, welcome to the committee. If you could, you heard the question, maybe you could provide us some insight, and maybe, being that we have two bills before us, comment from the standpoint of both bills.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Mike Gallucci. I'm the Deputy Commissioner for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs Healthcare. To your question, Representative, excuse me, I have a little cold today. So the reason that we're here today, or why these bills come to you through the system, is that while the federal VA allows the agency to vet those applications and send them forward, it really is about the agency not just simply going out and making deals, if you will, to send a packet forward without coming to the legislature. We don't make the decision of where to build a home. And while you have the 2009 study, that kind of gives you some of those criteria that was asked well, 2009, revisiting some of those criteria and looking at where we would like to build. If we are asked where we would build by the governor, we would make our recommendation. Otherwise, we take our direction from both the governor and obviously ultimately from the legislature where you feel you would like to build the home. By statute, I don't make the decision. As I understand this, I've been here now just 1 year. This is my first full session. But as I understood it, the direction of funding and ultimately the decision has never been asked of the MDVA. It's always been driven by legislation. So that's why I think these bills are before you, because there is a great need, as we heard in the prior committee meeting, for meeting some of the veterans' needs, and that's not where we've been in the past.
Mr. Chair, I was under the impression that the feds determined the location and the investment.
No, ma'am.
For these.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, the federal government only says to me the state of Minnesota has authorized 1,058 veterans beds, domiciliary and health care by federal law in CFR 38. If we ask for more beds, we have to go back to them. If we expand, we have to go back and ask and give them a logical reason why they should grant me more beds. They don't care where we build them, as long as we build them to their criteria in order to earn the per diem.
Mr. Chair, but aren't some of the criteria based on proximity and location to other facilities and support organizations?
Commissioner Gallucci.
Mr. Chair, Madam, the criteria that was in the 2009 community study, is that what you're referencing, is a criteria that was self-imposed by the folks that were in MDVA at that time in order to kind of develop a blueprint of how they were going to move forward with meeting the increased needs for homes. And so there were considerations of proximity. There's also the need, and there are some federal guidelines that go with that as well that were incorporated in that criteria. But at the end of the day, the bottom line is that we tell them we would like to build a home here because it meets these criteria of which the federal guidelines are incorporated in that.
Okay, and so if I might, has the Department of Veterans Affairs and the governor determined that the two locations that we're considering today are the highest priority locations in the state of Minnesota?
Mr. Gallucci.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, the governor has not indicated to MDVA through his bonding requests as to, at this time, where he would like to support additional veterans' homes. We have been asked in several committees where MDVA believes the greater need is currently if we were to build one more home. And we've identified that it needs to be in the north area. We have been on record to say that Bemidji, we believe, is an important area for us to cover. But you know, there are valid points to every one of these applications that have come out, and every one of them will report that their community is equally important. We consider the need for the Bemidji issue is really the proximity of family and the distance away from the VA medical centers that raise them to a higher level. And that's why we would encourage that if that was an offer on the table after we complete the Minneapolis project.
And, Mr. Chair, if I might.
Senator Holbert.
So are you saying that the Bemidji location has a higher priority than the Brainerd location?
Mr. Gallucci.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What I'm saying to you, ma'am, is not that. What I'm saying is that there is a real need of underserved veterans in that region that the home in Bemidji would serve immediately. Well, I realize that may be a politically responsive answer here, but obviously I would build everywhere and anywhere that I could to take care of veterans. But in the Northwest area, it would seem to me that this area is underserved currently and will remain underserved if we did not build in that area. If I only had one choice to build, that after Minneapolis completion, I would build in Bemidji.
And, Mr. Chair, I mean, I come from the world of transportation, where when you politically fund things, you get in a lot of trouble, and so I'm just trying to sort out what the intent is and where the real need is and what the process is so that we support things that have the highest need. And listening to Chair Hausman's comments, I'm just curious, Representative Purcell, do you have nursing homes in your area with empty beds?
Representative Purcell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe so. I don't want to say that I know that for sure, but I certainly believe that from time to time that there are folks up there that are in nursing homes that have empty beds.
If I may, Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Gallucci.
Representative. After Representative Hausman's meeting here earlier this morning and before this one, I was able to make some get a hold of some folks and ask some questions relative to the point of decommissioned beds in private nursing homes. The issues with those, and accurately pointed out in her committee, was that this would require some change in federal statute. And that's not going to be an easy process for us to move through. One of the issues that we will face is that federal funding, that is capital investment money from their projects, does not include renovation of private homes or a privately held home. And so the question would have to go into not just the statute, but then the revising of the VA's whole capital project program. And so I think that while those are valid questions that have been asked at both committees, and they're an interesting angle of serving veterans closer to their homes, I think that in the 25-meter target of life, that's probably a bridge too far at this stage for Congress and D.C. to come to some conclusion of changing that statute. I don't know that. If I did, I wouldn't be sitting here. But I think that the issue is that that's a great exploration that we should look for and waivers, but I think that there's going to be some real challenges down the line to that. So,
all right, thank you.
As I understand this, maybe you can clarify this for me and the committee, that with the passage of these two bills, and I think there was one passed in an earlier session, then the feds look at these potential locations and determine whether they meet the federal criteria. So these would simply be on a list either in your department or one that the federal government looks at, and then a determination or recommendation might be made. But ultimately, with the amendment that just went on, it would be the oversight of and I'll be asking Mr. Marks in a moment to comment about the potential fiscal costs, because we are potentially talking about some fairly major dollars once that's done. So that determination then would be made in the Capital Investment Committee and other committees as legislation in the future would move forward relative to these two. And am I correct on that? Was there another one that's on the list that was passed earlier? Maybe you could inform the committee of what that one was.
Yes, Mr. Chair. There are Montevideo from 2010 still has an application forwarded into D.C. and is sitting in the queue. As we've submitted Brainerd, we've submitted Bemidji, or And in fact, even the final phase of Minneapolis Phase 3 has been submitted as a new application because we were asking for more money. So those applications are all pending right now. The only way that they move through, that it's not as complicated as we would think. The list comes through. They get put on the list. Once they're bonded for pre-design or at least, then they start to move up in the priority. Ultimately, the bottom line is this. The language that assigns bonding dollars to construction is what the VA will build, because it's already a give me that we must build to their criteria in order to be eligible for the per diem. So it's always going to end up being about who's coming to the table with their money in their hand, and is there any money left over within the capital grant program to meet the need of the 65% construction.
Okay, thank you. And I'd like Mr. Marks maybe to comment about the fiscal note, because that explains why these bills are before us, because it is a potential cost, and anything that would have a potential obligation would go through Ways and Means. Mr. Marks, if you could bring us up to date on the fiscal note.
Mr. Chair and members, in your packets is a fiscal note for House File 903, and just note, there is no fiscal note on House File 109, but the same numbers in 903 would apply to 109, because these are both anticipated to be 70-bed nursing homes. But the fiscal note on the front page shows no cost, because this is not appropriating any money. It's simply an authorization at this point. But on in the fiscal note, at the top of page 2 is a discussion of the construction costs and the operating costs that would be involved. And you can read through the assumptions under those. But if you on near the bottom of page 2 is an estimate on construction costs, and it shows that the construction cost would be about $30 million, and it's a 65% federal, 35% state share that's assumed. So $19.5 million federal, $10.5 million state. So at a $30 million facility cost, the state bonding would need to be $10.5 million. The chart at the bottom of page 2 shows what the debt service cost would be if that bonding was authorized this year. So on the state match of $10.5 million, debt service of starting $319,000 in fiscal 2014. That debt service cost would be built into the overall debt service cost of a bonding bill if either of these, or if the $10.5 million was included in the bonding bill. On the top of page 3 is estimate of the operating costs. And again, as I said, this would apply. It says the proposed Beltrami County home, but this is a 70-bed home, which is also what the Brainerd one is estimated to be. And you can see the operating cost is estimated to be just under $8 million a year. And of that amount, 55% would be funded, or 55% or $4.383 million would be a direct general fund appropriation. And the remaining amount then is funded through renew from the Veterans Administration per diem and from resident maintenance charges. So those are the estimated construction costs and operating costs that would essentially apply to either of these homes if construction is authorized or if the bonding amount is authorized for it. So the implication here is that if these go ahead by virtue of the construction would have to be the first action the legislature would take. These are the kinds of costs that would have to be committed to make it work.
Representative Hausman, did you want to, or Representative Holbert, were you?
My question isn't to Mr. Marks, it's back to the testifiers.
Okay. I'm not sure. We got several people on the list. I don't know if any of them were to Mr. Marks, but I wanted Mr. Marks to kind of give us what the potential picture here is in terms of if an additional veterans home is authorized, what potential costs would be wherever it may be located. So Representative Hausman, you were on the list.
Well, Mr. Chair, I thought it might be helpful because we have two bills before us to just briefly give a few numbers from since we just had it at our previous meeting. And I think universally everyone at that meeting felt we're doing something wrong. And granted, we're stuck in this federal mode, but there's a part of me that feels our money would be better spent if we just opted out of that. And here's the kind of dollars involved. I asked for what's been spent so far from 1989 to 2012 on the Minneapolis home on one, $50.8 million. Their request, and as they said, they don't know what the governor will allow them to advance, but what they're asking for the Minneapolis home, is another $54.1 million. So that puts us now over $100 million that we've invested just in the Minneapolis home. And right now, I'm told by my Ramsey County folks that the Veterans Home in Minneapolis has an 8 to 12 month wait. The dollars involved in this are so massive, and yet we're not solving the problem. We were told this morning 874 on the waiting list. I mean, at a certain point, when do you step back and say, okay, this isn't working? Every single person around this table wants every veteran well-housed, but we're not doing it. We're not doing it with this approach. And when do we say this is so not working that we're going to break free? And I mean, imagine if you spent $100 million on community-based homes all over the state where they could all stay close to where their families and friends are. And granted, we do have the, you know, probably half of them in a seven-county metro area. But, for example, maybe there should be a neighborhood home in Roseville as opposed to one campus. I mean, I just think clearly what we're doing right now, and in, you know, in fairness to the department, all they're doing is what they can do based on federal rules. But when do we break free from this?
And let's see, was it Representative Anderson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Gallucci, I guess I would feel more comfortable having a better idea of what the department uses in their criteria. I know that you've mentioned that you follow what the federal guideline is in determining this, but, you know, why Bemidji, why Brainerd over, say, for example, Moorhead, or, say, for example, Park Rapids or Thief River Falls in this area? Or is it the department's goal overall to have all of these areas with these nursing homes, veterans homes? And then I also think that Representative Holberg, you touched on a really key important piece of this, is what does this mean for the nursing homes that are there that are not specified specifically for veterans? I believe we have a moratorium. Representative Abler could talk probably about that, on how many beds our nursing homes can have. And so is this then becoming a situation where the state is competing with those nursing homes? And, you know, are we shooting ourselves in the foot? And I think Representative Hausman, you hit it on the head. I mean, you know, we're still operating off of a nursing home mentality, and quite honestly, when it comes to senior care, that's changed a lot. And maybe that we need to look at how we provide for our veterans in a different way than having the homes in the way that we're doing it now. And I guess I think that there should be more conversation to that level, but I'd like to at least have an answer of what do you do, as a department, what do you do to determine the impact that a new home will have on the private nursing homes that are in the area, one. Two, what else do you do as far as determining need for an area? And specifically, do you time that out looking at veterans in their ages and where their location is currently? What kind of surveys do you do to determine where is the most need within the state? And not just geographically, but do you look at population of where veterans are currently at? If you could tell me what kind of studies you do on that.
Commissioner Gallucci.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, thank you much for your question. That is, as I pointed out, this is my first year here. One of the questions that we asked when I came on board was, I reviewed the 2009 community study, went back and asked the questions of what do we know about the veterans population to date. It's been a long year for us to try to get those answers as we try to complete, and I'm not trying to bypass your question. I just want to give you some perspective here. We're very much aware of the need to pay attention to age, women, disabilities, and so we've actually gone out and are just in the final phases now of having completed a briefing of where proposed locations are versus current locations, the expansion of being able to go in on a map and be able to pull up for you all that information that you just asked with demographics, so that we could best look at how and where we thought this should go. The criteria that was utilized in the 2009 study, for instance, held Bemidji, we'll use Bemidji at this stage because that's what I'm sitting here at, about in the third or fourth bracket until it got to the point where the question of their proximity to a VA hospital was. And then suddenly, because they were so far away, they dropped to a considerable double digit. Our thought process was that it should have gone just the other way as we looked at that criteria and revisited it with a new team, looking at how they compared, and thought that that was a real important piece. Additionally, since 2009, the number of CBOCs that the federal government has placed in Minneapolis has increased, as has the landscape of health care, both in the Bemidji area and in a number of the other communities that have applied. So I don't want to shelter any of them out. So we are continually looking at where and why. But when we look at a map of where Minnesota existing homes are, and I apologize because I didn't realize we were going to go there, but I'm glad to let you have this if you'd like to look at it. But when I look at this, those circles are within this 100-mile radius within the state of Minnesota, and you don't have to be very visibly impaired to see that there is absolutely nothing in the Northwest. And that issue for us showed us that when we did the demographics of the Northwest, there are over 34,000 veterans up in that area, and they have significant issues that are not being addressed because they're so far away.
Maybe we could have a page make copies of that. I had some eye surgery and I'm 20/20, but I couldn't quite make that out from here.
I appreciate
your patience. One eye I'm 20/20, and the other is not quite that. But
Mr. Chair.
Let's see, Representative Anderson, did you have a follow-up?
I do. Okay. I guess, Mr. Gallucci, I think it would really be helpful, though, to have an itemized list of what the department has looked at and what they haven't looked at. Because I am concerned about what Representative Holberg pointed out, is what are we doing to our private nursing homes that have a moratorium placed on them, and what are we also doing as far as serving population needs based upon the numbers. And I would like, if you have that demographic information, I would like to see that, because I think that would be really helpful. And then also looking out at, I'm assuming you're no different than, say, transportation needs, or when we're looking at wastewater and sewage treatment, all of those departments look at what are the long-range needs, what is our priority list. All of those agencies have a priority list, and I would be interested in seeing what that priority list, what it's based on, and all of the issues that I've raised here today. Because as I look at it, why Bemidji and Brainerd over, say, Plymouth or Roseville, or you name the community? I guess I would like to have greater comfort. And also looking at, as a side note, I look at Montevideo. You know, that's the part of the state that has had the most significant population loss in the state of Minnesota over the last 10 years. So you've got that in queue. Well, is that still meeting the needs of what we need to meet when it comes to care for our veterans? And so, you know, what kind of things do you do to try and adjust for that? But then also I have the question of, you know, what are the feds? Are they actually going to come up with their 65% share and, you know, all of that? So, I mean, those are some big issues that I'm really concerned about. And I'd just like to see what the department, how they're kind of handling some of those things.
Mr. Gallucci.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Anderson, I don't have that particular information right on my hand. The criteria of 2009 community study is, in fact, the primary thing that we looked at and utilized. It was done. It was a study that was done by the administration at that time at MDVA that they set the criteria as they thought was a pertinent criteria. And for the most part, it's a pretty good criteria. I would simply say to you that the reason that we have been so boisterous about saying, or so vocal, I should say, that the Bemidji area was seriously lacking in that area for a home was simply a demographics kind of thing. I think that you look at this, and when we look at this, and I came on board, I asked the commissioner, you know, what is the projected plan? This goes back to, I believe, your first question, Representative, and that is that there's never really been a blueprint of where we would propose to build homes because MDVA has never been asked, where would you think you should build? We have always been subject to whatever bills come before this body and before the governor and is then voted on and said, this is where you will build. And so that's what we've done. And again, don't know that you can really see clearly, but hopefully you'll see that when they come back around. So when we look, and really, this home that we're, the consideration of another home is the first time that with this, as I understand it, has been taken up seriously in a number of years since the campus program was initiated in 2010. Because we've not added anything other than the Minneapolis campus. So this has really been the first time that we've, even though we've talked about it and we've submitted Montevideo, and I believe Wilmer had also been in the queue, but they've kind of never updated their application, so we didn't know where they were in the system. In the queue just means that. They're sitting on somebody's application, they're sitting on somebody's desk. So as we look overall, again, this past beginning of this session and the discussion of where we thought that a new home would go, given that there was such a considerable interest by a number of communities, if we needed to lay our head down, it was all about, for me, accessibility. And that's why I think the Northwest region is in dire need of that, because I think the graphic is very clear where the hole is to accessing some sort of medical care in that area. I don't know that that answers your question. I don't think that we've never gone back to say that we're going to revisit the criteria of 2009 as to whether or not. But we decided that when we looked at this and overlooked at where everything really was, that the Northwest region of the state was really the only place that made any sense for us to look at if we were going to build any more homes. And we were very sensitive to the fact that in order to do that would mean we would ask the state to provide operating costs for that on an ongoing basis. And so building 9 homes wasn't going to be an option because the cost of operating them would not be realistic.
Just to remind folks, it was in your packet, we adopted it, but several people have come in from other committees. The chair had offered the amendment. Quite frankly, there's a lot of competition between the various communities across the state, and so if, just to remind members, I think as these questions come forward, we're looking at potential action in the future in terms of which community And as we say here, the commissioner must submit a preliminary operating plan, including a preliminary operating budget, to the chairs of the ranking chairs and ranking minority members of the House and Senate committees with jurisdiction over veterans nursing homes, and to the chairs and ranking members of the House Ways and Means and Senate Finance Committee. So the idea is, because as we'll see, Brainerd also will have some good arguments, I assume, for the Brainerd location. Montevideo is already referenced. I know in past legislative sessions, other communities have come forward with a plan as well. And so once this is reviewed by the department and the feds, it comes back here for a final decision in terms of where a potential home may ultimately be located. I just want to remind people that we are trying to be sure that there is appropriate legislative oversight with the chair's amendment. Representative Pucel.
Mr. Chair, if I may, I just say briefly here, and I didn't come prepared today and for the discussion about whether Bemidji is the place for the home. I've got a task force. I got all kinds of counties that support this. I mean, there's, but I didn't come here to have that discussion. If I would gladly engage it, but would ask for some time to get folks down here from the Northwest, and it takes a day to do it. So just want to say that.
Mr. Chair, for the record, while we're speaking on this bill, and we're speaking specifically of this location, MDVA is not sitting here to say this is the place that is better than any other place. The opinion that I voiced is just that of the agency. If given the opportunity, where would we build? This is why we think that there is a reason to build there. The criteria that needs to be expanded and looked at, certainly Brainerd and Montevideo, who are the most, the other two communities currently that are on my desk, all have valid reasons and all have valid purposes for why they should build there. What we simply looked at from a logic standpoint of accessibility is why the comment. We will, of course, follow the lead of both the governor and the legislature where you would like us to end up going, if should you decide that.
And our intent here today, or at least my intent, is not to select a site, but to simply have potentially, if the committee agrees, both these potential sites move forward for consideration, and then along with Montevideo, whoever else may come into play, come back to the legislature once some determinations are made by the department and the feds. And it looks to me like ultimately a key decision relative to at least construction in the end is going to be in the capital investment committee at some future time. But having sat through that committee this morning and hearing the discussion, there may be some other side issues in terms of current nursing homes and so on that may surface that already surfaced here as well. Representative Anderson, were you done with your questions?
Well, Mr. Chair, the only question I have is when you do have that moment, I think it would be helpful for us to have a map of the state of Minnesota up. I was just doing a map search myself of Fergus Falls to Brainerd. It's 95 miles from Brainerd to Bemidji. It's another 95 miles, and I think it would be helpful for us geographically, or if we're going to add some of these into the queue, we need to understand distance-wise there, because then you have a situation. If you're from Mankato, you've got quite a gap there as well, and you still have the gap in far northwestern Minnesota of the people that live in Lake of the Woods or Halleck or any of that territory. They're still going to be traveling quite a distance, and I think that we maybe need to have a different we need to consider the approach that we take moving forward.
Okay, Representative Enzel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, a concern that I would have coming from greater Minnesota is that what we have is Willmar and Montevideo, and now we have Brainerd, and then we have Bemidji. And we'll be here 6, 8, 10 years from now, and it'll end up going in Bloomington. That's my concern. It happens every time. My question then is, does current federal Veterans Administration funding of long-term care for eligible veterans include placements in an appropriate geographically located nursing home in a Medicare certified bed? Can the federal VA dollar reimburse for the cost of care that it would otherwise pay for in a veteran-specific long-term care facility, but in this case, in a proprietary home in International Falls, as an example?
Mr. Gallucci.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Representative, thank you for your question. The answer is no. There is no way for the VA to pay currently a per diem rate to a privately held organization. If you will remember, we go back to the criteria of homes. Regardless of where you would want to build, you could not have that home being privately held, whether it was Rochester, whether it's in Bemidji or wherever else. That home, that facility has to then be donated and owned by the state of Minnesota under the guidance of MDVA for federal funding to be reimbursed on a per diem basis. That is one of the issues and challenges that you would have. So currently, federal law will not allow that to happen. It is a requirement that land be donated or sold or somehow that title transfers to the state of Minnesota and is owned by them.
Thank you.
Yeah, just remind members, we've got four more people on the list, and there was quite a hearing, as I understand it, in state government finance, Representative Murphy's committee as well. So maybe if we can keep the questions brief and the responses a little bit briefer, because we do have one more bill before us. I think Representative Ward would like to make sure that his community is given some consideration as well. So we got Representative McNamara, Mullery, Abler, Holberg, and then Houseman, and then we'll vote. I guess there's five on the list. Okay, Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Commissioner Gallucci. Mine is kind of a follow-up to Representative Anzell. I represent the community of Hastings. We're blessed to have one of the veterans' home, and it's a terrific asset in our community. But I think the answer long-term, and this goes along with Representative Nornes, who I know also has one of the facilities in their community, some of our residents would like to get out of there and go to either a private facility or a different kind of facility that would have much less lower cost of care, would free up veterans' home beds to be available to those that need. I really think, I hope, that with the federal government realizing they can't continue to spend money they don't have, maybe they're going to open their eyes to Representative Van Zelk's point and let some of these folks go into local facilities where the care would be much less expensive, and then we wouldn't need to worry about in the future of, say, the Hastings or Fergus Falls Veterans Home end up with a bunch of empty beds because the feds finally wake up. So I guess my only point, Commissioner, is I hope you have your eyes open to that, because the veterans home facilities really serve an important need so many times for those that have served our country, and I see it all the time in my visits to Hastings. But at the same point, I think the feds are going to wake up at some point and see they could be doing this differently. We have so many of the veterans in Hastings that would love to get into much less expensive care, but because of the funding and the way the bureaucracy that, Commissioner, you have to work through. So, Mr. Chair, I think I'll cut it off at that point. I don't know if the Commissioner wants to make a comment or not.
If I may.
Sure.
Thank you for your comment. The Hastings facility is a domiciliary and presents a considerable different scenario than a skilled nursing. But I would submit to you, sir, that at the end of the day, long-term care in private facilities may look less expensive, and part of that reasoning that it looks less expensive is because we do more for our veterans than a private home will do. And I'll give you just an example. If you fall and you break your leg in a private home, they'll call your next of kin to find out if you'd like to go and get, they'd like to pay for the transportation. In the Minneapolis home or any of the other veterans' home, when a veteran falls and breaks a leg, that transportation is paid for. That's just one of the many things that is done. The list that you statutorily require me to provide care for is a much greater list, because in the private world, if I can't bill it, I don't do it. And I realize that that will rankle many of my fellow owners out there of private homes, but that is a fact of life. If they cannot bill it, they don't do it. And we do it because we're statutorily required to provide the higher level of care than what a veteran would receive in a private home.
Representative Mulry.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. And going, I had five questions at one time, but Montevideo has been already. That was my first question. Was what it did to Montevideo, and I think I'd like a little more answer. Does this affect them in the ranking? Next one was Ann Zelza's question. The next one, I was just going to say with regard to Representative Hausman, having talked to people who are very active in the veterans, they think it's good to be near the medical center out there. People that I know that are working a lot, including people that actually work there and volunteers at different places. The next question is of the meaning of the chair's amendment. Is it that there will be an overall plan for the state or just for this particular home? And then my last question, I remember I knew Clark Dyrud pretty well, and he used to work for the VA out of a Fargo office, and he covered, I believe it was 9 or more counties in northwestern Minnesota that were out of the Fargo office. Is there a big nursing home there that would serve those counties? So those are, I guess it's down to two questions, one for the chair and one for the deputy commissioner.
Well, I guess
if you can be brief.
Yes, thank you, sir. The Fargo home, nursing home that would be out in Fargo, if it's a state home, state veterans home, they have to be a resident of that particular state. Just like I can't take a South Dakota person from Fergus Falls, for instance, or put a South Dakota person into Fergus Falls, because they have to be residents of the state of Minnesota. So my assumption, though I don't know their laws, would be that that would be the same in reverse. And to your first question,
the chair, and it, you know, the language says before a plan is submitted for construction. And also, it's not the intent, I don't think, of either of these bills to create any kind of a ranking when you ask about Montevideo. Am I correct on that, Mr. Gallucci? Move them forward for consideration along with Montevideo, then before anything would happen, it would have to come back here for the for legislative approval after a plan is developed, and I suspect then a recommendation might be made as to which one of the three, if both these bills are acted upon favorably, would be considered.
Mr. Chair, just as a follow-up, I was hoping that your amendment was going to mean that an overall plan, so that we get at least some idea of what they're thinking of, or at least include that.
We can look at that as I think inherent in that is an overall plan, but We ran this language by the department, and so they were comfortable with the way it is, as well as I understand the authors, because there will be an amendment like it for the next bill. Representative Abler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, you know, this discussion about need and analysis of siting really doesn't belong in Ways and Means, but we didn't have this bill to us in either Health Committee talking about the impact on other nursing homes or the costs, which would probably be valuable at some point. I believe there will be some supplanting of other occupied beds, and so the fiscal note might be cheaper because there'll be some vacancies that we're not going to pay for. I have a bunch of questions. I'll try to limit them because of time. But I believe the veterans' homes get an enhanced rate compared to the non-veterans' homes, I think, for their pricing. I don't know if they're part of the state needs analysis as we look at beds. We're actually closing nursing home beds because there's too many. And the wave of the future isn't in nursing homes. It's in assisted living and helping people age in place. And I don't know how this fits any of that we're doing. And I do want to point out on the money, since this is Ways and Means Committee, that the pricing, and I'm not against your project. I think that if you're going to stick it, I'd put it up there where there's no circle. I think that'd be, but good luck getting that cited through this process, and it'll be in Bloomington probably when you're done, so, with the tax chair. Yeah. if you read the fiscal note on page 3, it talks about that 55% of the operating comes out of the state general fund. I don't know if that's carried in the veterans budget or in our budget. Somebody should know about that. And so currently we have a budget deficit and a target in our budget for $150 million reduction. And so if this were approved to get built, you'd have to approve the money at least in the tails. And so is that going to come out of somebody's tail target of this $4 million or something? So that's something for the chair of Ways and Means to analyze, that this is not a tailless project. And I don't know, I'll stop there, but I think this, we do want to respect our veterans. This whole committee agrees on that. We go out of our way to show our respect for those who have put themselves in peril and protected us. But then how to serve them is not a question of respect. We respect our grandmothers, we respect other people as well. And so I think that's a discussion that hasn't occurred. I don't think we even discussed nursing home needs in our committees at all this year. But anyway, just Mr. Chair, just have one question. What budget would that $4 million come out of for the operating? Is that a veterans budget thing, or is that a human service budget?
Mr. Marks. Mr. Chair, Representative Abler, it would be in the Department of Veterans Affairs, currently in the state government finance budget.
Okay, thank you. And I'll stop at that, Mr. Chair. Okay. So good luck, Mr. Purcell. Representative Ward.
Thank you. Holder.
Oh, Mr. Chair, I guess I've just become more confused as we've worked our way through this hearing. And initially we heard that we needed these bills to get people on the list, but later on in the discussion, we heard the gentleman say that Bemidji, Brainerd, Wilmer, they're already on the list with the Fed, so I'm still not understanding. And I have the 2010 report to the legislature, the construction project priority list, and on a priority level 2 through 7 is where we find Montevideo and Wilmer, and we heard testimony that from the gentleman that he didn't even know where the Wilmer project was. And so I think before any of this moves forward on the floor, it'd be very helpful to get a clearer understanding from the VA department as where is the highest priority, and maybe Wilmer, if it hasn't been started, shouldn't be on the 2010. Maybe we need a 2013 priority list before we move forward with any of this.
Representative Holder, you're touching on why the amendment, make some sense out of what the best location is. It goes back when I was chairing the Finance Committee, there was and at that point in time it involved southwestern Minnesota. There's a lot of competition between these various communities as to where the next veterans home might be located. And that's why hopefully as these now are added to a list, that the department will look at where the greatest need is and come back and present that to the legislature, but in the end we'll have oversight of that.
Well, Mr. Chair,
they'll narrow it down, is my understanding, that from all of them that have come forward, of which there will be three at this point, Mr. Gallucci?
Mr. Chair.
That's my understanding. Montevideo.
Montevideo.
And these two, if
Brainerd,
favor Black.
And Bemidji. And to your point, Representative, I am very much aware of Wilmer. I have read the language of the 2010. It was for a mental institution there. That has not been presented from the city of Wilmer. I am just a vehicle of those applications to the VA. Once a community submits a packet to me, my responsibility is to send it forward with the proper documentation. Part of that proper documentation ultimately is to submit it to these committees to determine whether or not they will or will not bond pre-design or any other functions. Montevideo sits there just as long as Wilmer has sat since 2010 in priority 7. The list that you have is a fiscal 13 list. This is initial applications for fiscal year 14, because fiscal year 13 is already moving forward at the federal level, of which they have $83 million to divide up across this nation. Our anticipation is that should we decide ultimately to build another home someplace else, that you would release pre-designed money so that that money can go forward, and that application would then be determined by the VA where within their priorities that would be. And if you look at the criteria that's on the list for the priorities, renovations are not a high priority, and new building constructions that do not meet safety and life issues move up as money is available to priority 2 and could go into priority 1 depending on what there are. There are several subdivisions within that. So that's the purpose of all of these bills coming forward, is so we can send the application forward, which we've done in all of these instances, to include Minneapolis to 17 South. And then it's a question of pre-design money authorized so that we could then be responsible, ably, to tell you what construction costs and operating costs would be based on the proposals of pre-design.
Representative Houseman?
Pass.
Okay. Any further discussion on the bill? Seeing none, then the chair renews his motion that it's been so long, I had to look at what the number is. House File 903, as amended, be recommended to pass. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye. No.
Motion carried. Representative Ward, I don't know if there will be a lot of discussion, being that I think most of the discussion we just had is relative to your bill as well, but you may want to bring us up to date on some of your thoughts.
Chair, members, thank you. I won't take as much time, I don't think, but I do need to make some points, and I do need to clarify some things that have been said. Now, first of all, a lot of people confuse Brainerd and Bemidji all the time. So when Mr. Gallucci says he wants to build it in Bemidji, he probably meant Brainerd. Because they confuse those two towns all the time. I get all the time. You're from Bemidji, aren't you, Representative Ward?
Representative Ward, before we get confused about the two cities, the chair moves House File 109 be recommended to pass and place on general orders. And I think what I'll do before we get heavily into the discussion then is move the amendment H-O-109-A-3, which is the same amendment we adopted for the Bemidji plan. Any discussion on that amendment?
Well, Mr. Chair, just to that point, I mean, you made the point that this makes this more fiscally accountable or whatever, but I think this amendment is just speaks to the Brainerd plan, and I think it's pretty clear that we need a bigger accountability measure here, and trying to determine what the highest priorities are, what the costs are, maybe an expansion of the 09 process. It sounds like Chair Hausman is up for the task to do more digging, but I'm really not convinced. I have no clue what the best and highest use of state dollars for veterans' homes would be at this time.
Well, as I look at the language, Representative Holberg, it's for a home, not the Brainerd home, with both these amendments. So the department, with these two amendments, if they are ultimately, there will be apparently these three on the list. And then the department will determine, I assume, meeting the federal criteria and the department's criteria, which home location they would recommend. But that has to come back here to the legislature, was the intent of the amendment. It doesn't, and there's no attempt with either bill to rank them. That was... they just all three move forward, or two of them, one has moved forward already. I think what the bottom line here, Representative Ward is, and Purcell earlier, is to simply have these two locations considered along with Montevideo. Is that a correct assumption?
Correct, Mr. Chair. And can I speak to Representative Holberg's points?
Yeah, Representative Ward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to Representative Holberg's points, and a lot of points that have already been made, and I heard a lot about the 2009 study today. I heard that several times. I hope you were listening, because the 2009 study came about when Representative Junkie, who had the Veterans Committee, asked the Department of Veterans Administration to do a study to determine where the best location in the state of Minnesota was to put the next Veterans Nursing Home, Federal Veterans Nursing Home. And members, guess what that study showed? Little Falls, number one, Brainerd, number two, and Crosby, number three. That was the final analysis and the criteria. Representative Anderson, you are absolutely correct. They used the criteria of, you know, you had to be within a certain number of miles to a clinic. You had to be a certain number of miles to a hospital. You had to be, couldn't be certain within a certain number of miles to another home. They used the, what kind of amenities do you have? What kind of services do you have? They used the criteria that they always use to establish the next home. And that study came out with 1, 2, and 3, if you look at your map that you were handed out, which also doesn't have a circle anywhere near that area as well, area 6271. But members, one of the criteria that was found was that the number one highest population of veterans in the state of Minnesota is the metro. The second highest population in the state of Minnesota is St. Louis County, where Silver Bay is. Where's the third, members? I'll tell you where. Crow Wing County, Brainerd, Crosby, Little Falls. And I respect Representative Purcell and everybody else that is looking for a nursing home. But my basis is on the statistical data that we found with the 2009 survey. So I just want to make sure that you understand that, and that that's clear, that the criteria has been used, the data has been used, and absolutely to, I think, Representative Kahn's point and others' point about a private nursing home, during our process, we talked to Senator Franken about having federal legislation designed, implemented to allow private nursing homes to use a wing for veterans. And we have found this, that veterans, I need to be correct, because in the last Representative Hausman committee, I said all veterans like to stay together. Not all veterans do, but most veterans like to stay together, you know, when they're going into a facility. They're close to their family. You know, there's some asset buy down that veterans should have. That is profitable. It's good for them that they should have. So members, we have looked at the possibility of that also using a private nursing home facility. The problem is the MA doesn't follow that, just like was talked about. So it's got to be a federal And I asked the department, Representative Hausman's committee, Chair Hausman's committee, to make sure that their eyes were open and following and pursuing that as well. So I'm not going to take any more of your time, members. You've already given enough time. But I wanted to be clear that in that 2009 study, those were the top three areas. And you know, it's like any other study. Somebody didn't like the results of that study, so they said, oh, well, we got to do a new study. We got to do a new study now. Well, if it was good in 2009 and it was used with good criteria, it should still be good. Excuse me for getting a little wild here. I'm sorry, but you know, we want to serve our veterans. We do want to serve our veterans and provide them. Our area has the third highest in the state, but not the facilities. We've got a clinic. We're close to a hospital. You know, we've got everything that was needed in the criteria.
Okay, we've got about 10 minutes, and we've got four members that have questions. But you're the representative from what community?
Brainerd and other areas.
Because I cut you short on your explanation of Bemidji and Brainerd earlier. So, okay, Representative Loon, if everybody can be brief, because we do want to adjourn in 10 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I was just going to offer what I hope would be a friendly oral amendment to you, or your amendment, kind of along the lines of this discussion. We've talked about a lot of studies or plans, but I'm still confused about where the priorities lie, as they seem to shift a little bit from year to year. So my suggestion would be on line 1.3 of your amendment, right after must submit, I would strike preliminary operating plan and substitute priority project plan. And then the next line would include including a preliminary operating budget. You know, I just feel like we need a little more direction here about what precisely the priorities are from the commissioner. I've heard what I think is perhaps some conflicting information or maybe shifting priorities, and I think this is something, some information that the legislature needs.
Okay, we've already adopted the other amendment, so are you moving that amendment?
I would move that amendment.
The amendment is before us. Being that I was the maker of the amendment, I think it's a good suggestion. So is there any further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. We don't have like language on the other one, but I think that makes it clear to the department when they're putting this final recommendation together that that language, in a sense, applies to all three that will be on the list. So we are clear on that. Representative Loon, any further?
No, thank you.
Okay, Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have two questions for Representative Ward. I'm assuming, based upon your passion for the report that was done in the past, then that you would support an effort to put a veterans home in Little Falls, since it ranked number one over Brainerd. Is that correct?
Representative Warren.
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, matter of fact, our plan has that option to have a greenhouse facility in Little Falls, Brainerd, Crosby, three different separate facilities, so that those veterans could be close to their homes again. So yes,
but you would support an actual veterans home right there in Little Falls. Okay. The other question I had for you was, for your community, do they have the 35% match taken care of then? And then I have a question from Bill Marks that will just be real quick.
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, we have raised a little bit of money, but we don't have a 35.
Any guess on where you're at?
Pardon me?
Any guess on percentage of what you've got so far?
I have no idea. That's outside of my...
Okay. And Mr. Chair, for Mr. Marks, what happens if a local unit, you know, if this goes ahead, do we wait for the match to actually come into place, or does it start when the feds say, yeah, we think that you're going to do it? What happens if the local doesn't deliver the 35% match? Or does that not even happen? It doesn't even begin until the match is there.
Mr. Chair and Representative Anderson, the 35% would most likely be state funding in a bonding bill.
Okay, so not a local at all.
To the extent there's any local money in there, it would be fairly minor.
Representative Nornes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be quick. I think there's a waiver that's available for nursing homes to apply for, so they can take some veterans into their facility. But I've been told by administrators it really doesn't pay for them to do that, or it's very difficult to get. But I think that is available if they choose to go that route. Is that correct?
I've heard, Mr. Chair, thank you. I am familiar that there is a waiver. In order for them to meet that, in order for them to get the waiver, they must meet all of the criteria that the VA, which is the same thing that we do. And in most cases, that doesn't happen. And that's why it's a difficult thing, because they need to also then meet all their criterias of building safety code, all of the things that the VA sets forth in their criterias as well.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Chair, one question of Mr. Representative Ward. Representative Ward, the buildings that once housed the state hospital in Brainerd, are they gone?
Mr. Chair? Representative Norris, sadly, yes. There's still three remaining that have a TBI facility in them, a CD facility in them, and a mental health facility, I think. So there's three still remaining. The property is there, the infrastructure is there, but the rest of the buildings are sadly gone. It's something I fought.
I just asked, had it ever been considered for use for this purpose?
Mr. Chair? And that initially was my first bill, was yes, that was the facility that we thought was the best facility, period. And I saw the administration here a minute ago.
Well, we don't need to go into
more
detail.
They must have heard that question and gone.
I just point out, Mr. Chair, that sometimes even the state of Minnesota does maybe some short-sighted decisions that,
yes,
in this case, I think would have been helpful to you.
And Mr. Chair, to Representative Norris's other question on a waiver, I don't think, and I might, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that the MA follows in the federal MA follows a veteran even on a waiver. I don't think, but I might be wrong on that.
Okay, Representative Abler.
Well, thanks. I know we're time short, but just the advice to the chair, I don't think the amendment that you put forward is going to give you the satisfaction you wanted. If they have to send you a report, and they don't have to do it. They don't have to make us approve anything. And by the way, I think it only relates to the certain bills you've done. It says a home, and it would modify the paragraph ahead. So if you want to report back or the legislature decides, you're on the floor, you'll have to kind of work on that. But I have a second observation about your motion. We're about to send to the floor a second bill that has tails of $4 million to it. And I think the way that it's legal is the commissioner may establish a nursing home. Now, I hope the fiscal chairs are understanding that if we say that the department may give a 1% COLA to nursing homes, that doesn't have to go into effect until they do it. The minute they do it, it goes into effect, the $4 million comes out of the forecast, out of the veterans budget, and so we have to slow down the scholarship repayment or take it out of make a new deficit. So I just want to offer a cautionary tone that we're sending a $4 million tail to the floor, which is not, that's the new de minimis standard. I'm kind of liking it. But I caution the chair about that. I don't think it's what you want to do.
Representative Abler, I just checked with Mr. Marks, and that would only be if we authorize construction, correct, Mr. Marks? And that wouldn't be in either of these bills.
Mr. Chair, I think the assumption would be that these aren't going to proceed until the state does bonding. If there is bonding in the bill, in the capital investment bill this year, we need to look at when the facility might be off, when it might be opening and when the first operating cost would be, and that we should be tracking. I think the assumption at this point is, yes, it's a May, but there are two steps here. There's authorizing construction, and then when would operation occur?
And so that would, Representative Abler, yet to be determined.
Yeah, fair enough.
But
I just wanted to point it out to you. Yeah. Thanks.
Any further discussion? All those in favor, then, of House File 109, as amended, being placed on the General Register, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
No.
Motion carried.
Thank you, Mr.
I've got a question before now that we've dealt with the bills. What if one of these other communities that were mentioned in that previous report comes forward? Do they need legislation to be on the list, or would the department simply put them on the list?
Mr. Chair,
I'm talking about the references that were made by the author of the previous bill about other communities that were considered.
You're talking about Montevideo or Wilmer specifically, or you're talking about
any
other
Falls
community?
Little Falls was mentioned. I just want to know what the next step, if another community wants to come forward, do they need legislation?
They don't.
Or would they just submit it to the department and they would be on the list?
They need to give we would supply them with the application format. They would fill out Section A. They would provide schematics that are in line with the combined living or community living center concept that the VA has released last month for fiscal year 14. And we would submit their bill just like we just did with Brainerd's. We sent Brainerd's forward as well as Bemidji, and then we kicked it the information of the new criteria. We sent that back to them in order for them to meet the deadline of April.
The reason I ask the question is that if another one came forward, what the status of the language that we just adopted dealing with reporting back to the legislature would be.
Any community that comes forward to you now, Mr. Chair, would have to come with all of their information schematics ready to go, because the 15th of April is the deadline for the federal VA fiscal year 14.
So from your perspective, any that would come forward, or Montevideo, any of them then would have to come back here, even though that language
is Montevideo is already forward, so.
This language was not on the Montevideo bill, though.
No, but Montevideo has been in the queue for since 2010, as well as with Wilmer. Yep. And so that's not required anything any further except for updates, which Montevideo provided us with an update. Wilmer has not.
Oh, and Mr. Chair, he just said that we don't need those bills. He said that any community could fill the application, and he would submit it to the feds as long as the application was complete. So we don't need the bills in order to integrate with the federal program. Certainly you need funding from the state for the local match, but these bills, these permissive bills, maybe the best place to get at your issue is the omnibus veterans bill, that we do some type of
it may
planning be, document.
Okay. Go ahead.
I think I mentioned this in the Capital Investment Committee. I think the department's priority over any new construction of homes and other communities is the finishing phase three of the Minneapolis home. That's the priority that I understand that the department has.
Mr. Chair, Representative, that is exactly the only priority that we have. Any homes and any possibilities of any future homes for us currently is secondary to the conclusion of that campus master plan phase three.
Okay, by the way, we'll send out an email because some people have left, but just so you're aware, next week we will be meeting almost every day until we're done with the omnibus finance bills. So with that, thank you, members, and meeting adjourned.